You're listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. My name's Rob, I'm producer, and this episode we've got Blake Oliver.
Well, Rob, thank you again, and we welcome everyone to our podcast. And I am really, really excited today because we have Blake Oliver. By the way, that is his real name, not his stage name. Is that correct, Blake?
Yeah, I think my mother thought maybe I'd get into something in the public eye someday, so gave me a good name.
It is.
Which I appreciate.
In fact, after this, Blake, I'm changing my name because most people don't know Yeager in German is Hunter. So I may change my name to Phil Hunter. What do you think?
Ooh, that's a good name.
That's a good name. That's a good. I can go into like advertising. But yeah. Anyway, Blake is actually, can I say you're an expert on this, Blake? An expert on cloud accounting, and he has a weekly cloud accounting podcast, which I thought was very original, you know, considering he's in cloud accounting. Very good. Anyway, yep. Blake, would you please share with us exactly what cloud accounting is? People might think it's something with, you know, the weather. So what exactly is it?
Well, so cloud accounting to me means being able to do accounting wherever you are with a laptop and an internet connection. So we're using cloud-based software as a service tools. You may be familiar with QuickBooks Online or with Xero or ERP systems such as Oracle NetSuite or Sage Intacct. Those are all cloud accounting applications. Now, just using one of those isn't cloud accounting in my opinion. I think to really be a cloud accountant, you also need to be integrating those systems with other subledger applications such as Bill.com or Gusto or ADP or, you know, AvidXchange. I could go on and on and on. There's all these incredible applications out there that you can now integrate because they're all in the cloud. They all have what are called API connectors, meaning you can plug and play and get the data flowing. And what's the whole point of all this technology? It's to streamline the work that we're doing, to get rid of the manual data entry from the work of the bookkeeper and the accountant. And I experienced that myself. I went from being a data entry QuickBooks desktop bookkeeper to a guy who owned my own online accounting firm where I probably did no bookkeeping whatsoever. Even when I was, you know, not in a management role, when I was just doing bookkeeping, I figured out how to automate basically 80, 90% of my job. So that is, I think, as short as I can say it, what cloud accounting is, at least in my experience.
It's a form of artificial intelligence. Is that what it is?
Well, sometimes artificial intelligence, machine learning are used, but it really doesn't have to be that complicated. You know, a lot of these tools, they just reduce data entry by creating rules. So like if you think of bank feeds coming into your accounting software, one of the big benefits of having a connection between your bank and the general ledger is that you don't have to manually code every transaction every time. You could create a rule in your system, and then every time that transaction comes in, it gets automatically coded to the appropriate account. That streamlines bookkeeping dramatically because you do it once and you never have to do it again. Now there are some companies out there that are applying basic artificial intelligence to that process as well to hopefully reduce the rulemaking aspect. So the idea being that I just connect my bank, I submit my source documents, and then the software is smart enough to figure out where to code it without me ever having to teach it.
So is this going to eliminate human beings from doing work? Is this going to increase the unemployment rates with accountants?
The answer is yes to the first question. It is going to eliminate work and jobs. But if you look at historical trends, whenever jobs have become automated or obsolete, the economy tends to grow, productivity increases, and new jobs come up, are developed. So that is the big hope, is that even if, say, 1 million bookkeeping jobs are automated over the next 5 to 10 years, that'll be replaced by other types of work that we haven't yet invented.
Now, how does one get training in cloud accounting? I mean, I'm not aware of any universities, colleges that even have any courses on this. Now, is that, am I wrong or?
Yeah, you're right. The and I faced this struggle myself. So I'm a career changer. I was a music major in college, which was a lot of fun, but not exactly the wisest business decision that I ever made. And so when I graduated into the financial crisis so in 2007. I think everything went down. The markets crashed that year, right? Or was it the year after?
No, it was about 2007, 2008. Yeah, it was around that time.
So I couldn't get a job, right? And in the previous economy, it would have been no problem. There would have been companies willing to train me, right? I wasn't the situation during the Great Recession. And so I had to teach myself something. And so I picked up bookkeeping as a flexible job that would allow me to continue to pursue music. And I had to teach myself a lot. And I think that's the way a lot of bookkeepers learn, is you don't tend to go to school for it. It's something you pick up on the job. So I was doing that while I was taking classes at UCLA Extension to get my CPA license. And what I did was I took all these certification courses. So right, the software developers have created certifications to promote their products. So I started doing those. And now there are more and more of those. So I think that's a great way for people to get started. If you want to learn new technology, is go find the software that you want to learn and then ask those developers, look around and see, hey, do you have a certification class I can take?
Are there any universities that are actually have accounting majors with a sort of a sub-specialization in cloud accounting? Are you aware of any universities? Yeah.
No, I've heard of some that are doing certain classes on data analysis, or maybe they're teaching their students how to do, how to work in an ERP system, for instance. But I mean, it's pretty bad. When I was in school, which was only 10 years ago, there was one elective on QuickBooks, and that was it in the entire curriculum. And it was only offered once a year. So most people never took it. And so it's one thing to learn the theory. It's another thing to actually be able to apply that theory in the real world, which, you know, it's increasingly dominated by technology.
So it sounds like you expect in the future there'll be a greater demand than supply. Am I correct?
So if you look at the demographic shifts that are happening in this country right now, we aren't going to have enough CPAs in the future. There's just not enough people taking the exam.
Yeah.
And so there's all these CPAs retiring, right, because there was a huge glut of baby boomers. So we have to figure out how to use technology to make ourselves more productive to bridge that gap. I'm not worried about CPAs being able to find jobs. If anything, salaries are going to increase pretty dramatically, probably 10 to 20% over the next 10 years, which is great news for people who are studying for the CPA exam right now, right?
No, it's good, but actually I'm going to a meeting this weekend, which is actually, I go twice a year with the ASCPA examination division. And I expect them to tell us that they're going to start testing on artificial intelligence. Now, they were very vague when we met last time. So obviously they feel that this is something important and they're going to mention it. It's going to be one of these blueprints they now have. But I know there is a shortage of accounting. And, you know, every time I go to these meetings, I give them the reasons for why I think there's a shortage. And and they just don't want to hear what it is. And
I'm curious to know, what is your theory?
Well, this is my opinion. Well, first of all, this 150-hour rule was the worst thing they ever passed. I had when I took the exam, it was a bachelor's degree in accounting, and actually I didn't get any experience requirement. And I got out and I did several things. I went into college teaching. I started an accounting practice. I did financial planning. I got my CFP. Now, not one time did anybody say to me, well, God, you need more academic credits so you can be a good accountant. No, yeah. So I think these 150-hour rules were basically, and I know in the state we are in, Maryland, that the universities here, one which I will not mention, they were lobbying the legislature to get the 150 hours because they thought they would start masters of accounting programs, and that would just take off. And mm-hmm. that really just was a slap in their face because it did not take off, because the students then switched to finance.
Mm-hmm.
And the salaries, and this is before the crash, but the finance majors were making more money than the accounting majors with the 150. And they figured, hey, why go for an extra year when I can get a job in finance mm-hmm. and make more money than these accountants are being offered? I think the other problem is this. All right. Well, everyone got used to the 150 hours, but then because there's so many organizations involved with the CPA exam. There's NASBA, there's the AICPA, there's the State Boards of Accountancy. Well, the State Boards of Accountancy, all right, what they did was they make it very difficult for people to get the experience requirement. Now, when I started teaching CPA review, we had people who came from the federal government, state government, public accounting firms, and the corporate sector. And the reason they came from there to take the CPA exam is because, yes, there was an experience requirement, but the experience requirement actually was like 1 or 2 years in accounting. Now, a lot of the states are going towards you have to work in public accounting or you have to have your work evaluated by a CPA, and the CPA has to sign off for mm-hmm. your experience requirement. So mm-hmm. they're actually making it very difficult. And, yep. As I say, I mentioned at the meetings, I said, let's put it together here, gentlemen. This is a business, okay? Maybe they don't want to acknowledge it's a business, but this is a business, the CPA exam and the CPA certification. And I said, what can you do to stop these things? Well, we have no control over the state boards. I think they could exercise control if they wanted to change some of the rules, but AICPA is always, they can't do anything. They have no control over NASBA, the state boards of accountancy. But, there could be a tremendous increase in the number of people taking the exam if they would make the experience requirement more liberal so that people from federal government who are very happy to get the CPA, and also a lot of people don't want to go into public accounting. They don't like the hours.
Yep.
And they prefer to go into corporations, all right? But now we have a problem, all right? They go work for the corporations. They take the exam. They pass. And, I got a call last week from a student. He says, Phil, can you sign off and tell them that I can do accounting? You're a CPA. Can you sign this experience? And I said, no, I can't. So here's a person who passed the exam about a year ago, and he can't get the certificate and the license. So. Yeah. Is that not discouraging people? I think it is, because
I'd agree with you 100%. And look at my own experience. I was a music major undergrad, so that's the only reason that I had 150 credits right. was because, I took something completely unrelated to accounting. How does that increase my value in any way? Right? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But
it's nothing to do with accounting. So
it's the 150 hours is really sort of I call it a joke, because you can get the extra credits in music like you did. All right. And mm-hmm. I know at one time students were telling me, because they were going to University of Miami, Florida, and they said they took, classes in surfing, basket weaving.
Yep.
And I know those courses, the surfing and basket weaving, do make you a better accountant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. All right.
Well, I'll tell you, to satisfy the ethics requirement, I took philosophy, at a community college because I didn't want to, I wanted the cheapest possible option, right? Something that was like $120 for a credit. And that satisfied the requirement. Go figure.
Which I don't think does anymore. Does it?
This was at California. Maybe it's a specific
California.
California
is always very – everyone says those people from California.
They're trying to be their own country.
They're strange. Yeah, they have their own thing. But I'm from New York, so we're just as bad. But it's crazy. And I don't know if you're aware of what's going on. The Institute of Management and Accountants with the CMA, Mm-hmm. All right. They actually see the weaknesses that the AICPA is doing as far as getting candidates. I know we're not talking about cloud accounting, and I apologize. But,
no, no, it's fine.
All right, but the IMA, they're running this like a business, and they see, hey, we have these people from China. They can't get the CPA for a few reasons. One, they can't find a state to take the exam in, and two, they can't get licensing. So what are they taking? They're taking the CMA. Because mm-hmm. the corporations in China say, if you get some type of American U.S. certification, which they count the CMA, you will increase your salaries tremendously. So the number of people taking the CMA exam, I think last year in China, increased by 60%. Okay? That is phenomenal. And mm-hmm. they don't make it difficult. In other words, instead of saying, well, gee, we have a tremendous increase, we're going to make this more... we're going to make it harder to take the exam. They're just saying we're not going to change things. If it isn't broken, why fix it? You know, and
right. They.
I mean, and this is something that a lot of times they allow the IMA to come in and listen to everything that the AICPA is doing, a competitor. You know, I mean, it's just I sometimes look at this and say, gentlemen, wake up and smell the roses here, okay? We can increase the number of people taking the CPA if everyone would get together and say, you know, maybe we have to talk to the state boards about making the experience requirements a little more liberal, and then we'll have more CPAs and we don't have to hear there's a shortage of CPAs, all right? Mm-hmm. And also, all right, we won't hear, and this is the big thing you're always worried about, the CPA examination division is, there's not as many people taking the CPA exam. Well, what a surprise that is, okay?
Yes.
You know, they act like, wow, gee, I don't understand this, all right? And I just sit there, and I actually go to the meetings only because I want to know what the new blueprints are, okay?
Right.
All right, but other than that, and probably I shouldn't say this if someone's listening from the AICPA examination division, but that's the only reason I go to the meetings. There's nothing else of interest that really, you know, I don't see any increase in the number of people taking the exam. And I can sit there frustrated as can be when they do ask, and this is interesting, they do ask, does anybody have any idea why people are not taking the exam? And if you tell them, they look at you like, well, we have no control over that. So why are you asking us? You know, and I think I'm the only review course that opens my mouth. Everyone else, and the other courses get angry at me because I express my views.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I appreciate hearing that because I've wondered about this myself for a long time. And I put in a lot of effort to get the CPA, and I want it to be competitive with other licenses or certifications, right, like the CMA. And I certainly don't want to be buying into something that's on a downward trajectory, right? Because I put in a lot
correct.
Of effort to get
correct.
It. So, and this does have something to do with cloud accounting, which is that there are if you make it difficult for people to become CPAs and there aren't enough CPAs, then the public is going to start going outside the CPA profession to get the work done that they need done. And that's what you're starting to see in the cloud world, which is the rise of accounting firms that aren't CPA firms or bookkeeping firms that aren't CPA firms, which is what I was. I wasn't a CPA until last year. I finally said, well, you know, if I'm going to be in a role where I'm talking to people, I should have some initials after my name to give me credibility, right? Even though I already had built a firm and sold it and I know what I'm doing, it helps, right? I mean, that's half the value of the CPA is just the credibility. So, so if you know, it's related. If we don't protect the CPA brand and keep it growing like it should, then it won't have this. I mean, right now, I think everyone in America knows what a CPA is, it feels like, right? Like everybody.
Oh, definitely. They do market that very well. Yeah.
Right. But that's because of work that was done decades ago, and we got to keep it going or it could be on the decline. So.
Well, then the question is, if there's a shortage of CPAs, you don't need CPAs necessarily to do the cloud accounting, do you?
Well, and that's the thing is that you know, we can overcome this sort of artificial shortage of CPAs using automation, using AI, right? So hopefully CPA firms will wake up and start using this technology so they can grow their practices, and we can, even if the state boards don't come around, we'll still be okay. That's my hope.
Yeah,
And you know, you look at the data, and you know, unfortunately, I would say about 75% of firms are just sort of either going business as usual or shrinking and not really doing anything, and they're just going to peter out. About 25% of the firms are growing just incredible amounts, over 20% per year. And these are the high growth firms. And there's a study that was recently done by Hinge Marketing on high growth professional services firms. And they called this out. And I found that really, really interesting that a small group, quarter of the profession, is really embracing technology and using it to, you know, get out of hourly billing and go to value pricing models and lower their costs and get away from this whole, you know, my hours are what I sell type of mentality.
Well, the artificial intelligence, what areas will it actually, besides bookkeeping, is there any other areas where it will replace the need for CPAs?
So I'll use an example from my company where I work now. So I was in public accounting in some form or another for 10 years. And last year, I joined a firm called Flowcast, and we make close management software that we sell primarily to corporate controllers. And they use it to manage all the work of their teams and closing the books every month. So what we are working on now is building out automation through a basic form of artificial intelligence that will allow us to facilitate very, very large data set reconciliations. So to give you an example, you have a bank reconciliation with 100,000 transactions per month. That is something that is very, very difficult to do manually. It requires two monitors and two Excel sheets and a ton of pivot tables and ticking and tying. It takes hours every day. If you did it all at once, it would take you days and days and days and days to do it. So we wanted to figure out, how can we start assisting with that? How can we make that faster? Computers are much better at matching up transactions than human beings. Mm-hmm. So we have a new module that we are releasing this month, at the end of this month, called Matching, Flowcast Matching, where you feed the data sets into Flowcast, and then it does 90% of the matching, which is usually like one-to-one transactions, trying to find by date and amount and description field, match those up, and all you have to do are the exceptions, the ones that the software couldn't match. So that's the sort of work that we are focused on, and it will eliminate labor from some of those staff accountants who are assigned to that work. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, you'll still need them because you'll want them. Well, first of all, somebody has to do the reconciliation. Even if it's faster, you still need somebody to do it. But also, they can work on more higher value stuff, right? That's the idea.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you.
No, that was it.
I know for our business, the CPA Review School, we use QuickBooks. Mm-hmm. Do you see artificial intelligence being incorporated in QuickBooks?
Well, so there's a firm out there, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, called BotKeeper, and they're one of a number of firms that is building, or claims to be building, technology that hooks into QuickBooks and other software like Xero, and automates the bookkeeping process by pulling the data out, analyzing it, and then pushing in the reconciled transactions. So that's another way that companies are working on automating bookkeeping. A great example of something that already exists is data extraction, OCR services. So that's been around for a while, the idea that you could scan an invoice on your computer, and then the software, optical character recognition software, would pull out the date and the amount, the description, that sort of thing. That's been around for years. But now there are services in the cloud like this. A great example is AutoEntry. There's another one called Receipt Bank. There's another one called HubDoc. With those services, you scan your documents. Typically, you'd actually take a picture of it, of a document, on your phone through their app and submit it that way. They do the OCR, and pull out the data. And the additional thing that they add, the value that they add, is they hook up to your QuickBooks and they can send in that transaction or that information as a transaction and the appropriate type. So if it's a receipt, it goes in as a spend money transaction, in, as they call it, in zero. Or if it's a bill, right, the payable, it goes into your payables in, I don't know, a bill.com. So that is something that already exists that's been out there for about 5 to 10 years now. And if you're a CPA and you're not leveraging technology like that, you're paying way too much for labor. It just makes no sense to have people keying those transactions in manually anymore. It's just, it's incredible how much time you save if you use those services.
Do you know when QuickBooks is going to have this feature available? I mean,
So I don't know if Intuit is ever going to build it directly into QuickBooks, but you can buy, you can sign up for AutoEntry, for example, right now, create an account with them, and you can connect it to your QuickBooks. And so you can use those two together. And I think it works well if you use QuickBooks Online. I'm not sure if the desktop has a connector. That's mm-hmm. one of the issues with desktop software, is there's not always a connection available. But with the cloud services, there is. So if you're on QuickBooks Online, you have that, you have your account there, you sign up for an auto entry account, and then you link them. And so you can get the benefit of the automatic data entry without waiting for Intuit to build it someday. That's the beauty of the cloud ecosystem, as people like to call it.
Is the name of the company AutoEntry, or is that the process itself?
That's the name of the company, is AutoEntry. Again, you know, there's also Receipt Bank, there's also HubDoc. Those are the ones that I can think of right now. There's a number of companies that do this type of data processing. And then, you know, there's another set of companies, BotKeeper, Indonero, Bench, where they combine that software plus a service. So they're like an accounting firm that also makes software. It's a very interesting model. And then, of course, you have the traditional bookkeeping and accounting firms that simply use software like that, that don't make it themselves. So we've got a whole new group of semi-accounting services firms. And it concerns me a lot of the time, because these aren't CPA firms. Often they're using offshore labor. They may not be disclosing it. They may not be using people who have proper training or credentials, but they're really good at marketing because they've raised, you know, tens of millions of dollars of VC money. So it's a buyer beware situation right now out there.
If I wanted to become a cloud accountant, all right, mm-hmm. where do I find this? I mean, obviously, I'm going to major in accounting, all right, mm-hmm. and takes 150 hours, which I hate that 150 hours, and take the CPA exam. And then the next question is, who's going to train me in cloud accounting?
That's the challenge, is that no one person is going to train you. And unfortunately, I haven't found a university that has a program that will teach you how to do this. A lot of it is trial and error, and a lot of it is learning by doing. So signing yourself up for QuickBooks Online and learning how to use the software, going through their certification process, or doing the same thing with Xero, X-E-R-O, which is their big competitor globally. Or if you're working in a mid-sized organization, it's taking the initiative to go get certified in NetSuite or in Sage Intacct and becoming an expert at those tools. Then the next step is getting familiar with the tools that integrate with those applications. And there are a few dozen that are the really major ones. And a great way to educate yourself on that is to go to the conference. So when you get a job and you are using that ERP system or that QuickBooks, go to the conferences that these developers have. You know, Intuit has QuickBooks Connect in San Jose every year. Oracle hosts NetSuite Suite World in Las Vegas. Intacct has its own show that moves around. Go to the show, walk the expo floor, and you will see hundreds of developers that have built solutions that integrate, and learn about them. Right? You have to educate yourself. And you can spend a whole week getting education on that, in addition to the research and certifications that you can do online. but it's changing so rapidly. I cannot tell you how much has changed in just 10 years from when I started doing this to now. It's incredible how rapidly the technology is developing.
I would think there'd be a need for schools, you know, like sort of like CPA review type things, training people in cloud accounting. I mean, do they exist or they don't?
Well, so I have a friend, colleague, who has developed a site. I think she's done really well. She's a trainer. It's called elephanttraining.com, Amanda Aguilard. I would recommend her site for anyone who wants to learn about cloud accounting from the small business side of things. It's elephant spelled with an F, E-L-E-F-A-N-T training.com. She has created, due to a lack of this available in education, in academia, she's created her own curriculum online that you can subscribe to and get CPE for and, you know, pay for those classes. So,
and I'm sorry, who runs it? What's her name again?
Amanda Aguilard.
Amanda Aguilard. Out of New Orleans. Where's she located?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's all online? Is that what she does?
Yeah, it's all online. Live CPE webinars, resource library. She does self-paced, zero-based training. If you are interested in, you know, learning more about QuickBooks, there's the Woodard Group is a famous...
Can you give us the spelling on that? The Woodard, W-O-O-D-A-R-D?
Yeah, W-O-O-D-A-R-D.
Right. The Woodard Group.
Woodard Group, Woodard.com. Oh, wait, no, it's not Woodard.com. I'll have to get you the website.
Okay. And after you, is there any other ones? I know you're looking it up, but.
Yeah, oh, it is Woodard.com for the Woodard Group. Those are the two that occur to me off the top of my head in terms of the, you know, the small business accounting systems, the QuickBooks and the Xeros of the world.
Right.
In terms of, you know, bigger systems like NetSuite, like Intact, that's a bit harder to find. That training tends to be provided by resellers of the software or by NetSuite themselves or by Intact themselves. So I would go to those websites for those systems, you know, netsuite.com, and look into training options. And, you know, you can, even if you don't use it at work, you could learn and get certified on NetSuite and use that as a way to get a job. I see many, many, many job postings now where they list experience with NetSuite as a top requirement because they don't want to have to teach you how to use their system. And if you go in there to that interview and you say, oh yeah, I'm already certified in NetSuite, I know how to use it, that gives you a huge advantage. I would say almost as significant as having your CPA these days in a lot of cases.
Tell us, let's give you a plug for Cloud Accounting Podcast.
Yep.
What do you talk about on your podcast? Did I say webcast or podcast?
Podcast. Yeah. So
is that cloud, once a week, by the way? Once a week?
It's once a week, cloudaccountingpodcast.com. And I co-host it with David Leary, who was the small business ecosystem evangelist at Intuit for many, many years. And he's an expert in all things cloud accounting. I bring the CPA side. He brings the developer side. And we get together every week and we talk about the biggest news of the week. It's a rundown, a weekly rundown of the top stories that are of interest to accountants and bookkeepers who are leveraging cloud technology to do more, to be more efficient, be more effective. So we cover any news from Intuit, any news from Xero, practice management tips, leadership stuff, anything that you see on the internet. The idea being that we read all these sites like Accounting Web and Accounting Today and Journal of Accountancy and, you know, the Intuit blog, and we pick out the top 5 to 10 stories that are of interest to you so that you don't have to go do all that.
And you take questions. Is it a call-in type show?
No, we record it live together, but then we edit it and post it up. So it's not... It's like this podcast, right? We don't have live listeners.
Right. Well, actually, we're doing...
Starting next week, we're doing our first live episode.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. So we started out with the pre-recording, and we're actually on Tuesday evening, we're doing a Facebook Live that's also going to be transcribed as a actual podcast episode, audio only, pushed out to all of our platforms. And then periodically we're going to try to do once a month where we have that live interaction where the listeners can actually get involved through the platform that we do the recording. They can chime in directly on the podcast page as well as on Facebook Live or YouTube Live.
That's great.
And also, Rob has arranged for all the Academy Award winners to be on our first live show, which I think is great. Do you have those names, Rob?
Not yet.
And we're trying to book them. And of course, Rob's going to be on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show talking about this podcast. And please don't believe anything I've just said. So anyway, we are going to wrap this up. And by the way, please listen to Blake every week. What day is that on?
You guys record on Fridays and launch on Monday or Tuesday?
We typically record Fridays, and then depending on my family obligations, I get that out sometime over the weekend. So, yeah, it's you just got to subscribe so that you get those notifications in your podcast app that we have a new episode out there. Oh, and if you go to my website, BlakeOliver.com, you can subscribe to my email list. The benefit of that is whenever a new episode comes out, I email you the show notes so that you have all the articles and the summary. And that way, if you are annoyed by my voice, you don't have to actually listen to me to hear what articles I liked that week.
Okay. I know you guys had been talking on the last couple episodes you guys had about BotKeeper. And I know today you guys are having a Facebook Live with BotKeeper to kind of clear things up. When is that and where can they hear about that?
Well, it's in 20 minutes as we record this, so it's 2 p.m. I don't know if any of your listeners – I doubt you guys have a turnaround time that quick to edit this thing and get it out.
We do not, but we can definitely – once we're done here, we can actually do a quick blast on social media.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, so the event is on our Facebook page. Cloud Accounting Podcast is the Facebook page. And the recording will be there, of course, after the live event is over and people will be able to watch it. But, yeah, So we didn't get the chance to talk about it too much today because we were talking so much about cloud accounting. But I've been looking into BotKeeper recently due to what I perceive to be a lack of disclosure around the offshoring of labor to the Philippines, which is kind of actually not just limited to BotKeeper. It's an issue in the tech world in general. And so Enrico Palmerino, the CEO of BotKeeper, has agreed to come on Facebook Live and answer those open questions about, are they disclosing properly? What are the security measures in place? Can CPA firms trust that their data is secure?
So it will be a question and answer also, right?
Yep, we're going to have the audience can ask questions via the chat, and then David, my podcast co-host, and I will pose those questions to Enrico.
But let me mention, there will be no Academy Award winners on Blake's show. So anyway, you don't need
to. Well, Phil, if you come on, we'll be sure to give you an award.
Well, thanks, Blake. Blake, where are you located out of?
I'm in L.A.
What's your weather today? I'm just curious. How is it?
60. So it's actually the coldest. Well, it's March now, but it was the coldest February since 1962 in Los Angeles. Which for us, that means it never got above 60 degrees for most of the month. It's 65 today.
We got snow this morning.
Yeah. Blake, I've never met you, but I don't think I like you based on what you just told me.
Well, I'm from Northern California, so I can handle the cold. But my wife is from L.A., and for her, this has just been intolerable. So we're kind of limited in where we can move in the country, unfortunately, due to that.
Yeah,
you can only go south.
Yeah, we can only go. We can only stay in the south. It's either California or Texas, pretty much.
Don't go to Texas. And by the way, that's just my opinion.
Well, there is always Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, cost of living wise, Texas is starting to look a little bit more attractive. I'll tell you that.
Well, Blake, we're not going to keep you anymore, considering you have a Facebook Live coming up. So anyway, I want to thank Blake Oliver, who is an expert. Can I call you an expert?
You can call me whatever you want.
He is an expert on cloud accounting, and his weekly podcast is called Cloud Accounting Podcast. And I would suggest that if you have an interest or you want to find out what cloud accounting is about, please listen to it. And we can hear just from Blake's voice that this gentleman has a real radio voice, does he not?
He does. He does.
It does.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And if I get to L.A., Blake, I will, or before I come there, I'll give you email, whatever I can. And maybe we can get together sometime. I think it would be fun.
I would love that. As they say, I have a face for radio, but I'd still love to meet you in person.
It would be my pleasure. And good luck with your Facebook Live tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Or
thanks for having
you,
me.
In your afternoon. I'm sorry, your afternoon, but our night. All right. But anyway, have a good weekend, Blake. Thank you so much for being on our podcast. And once again, have a good weekend and stay well.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager of Yeager CPA Review. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd simply like to hear about, we want to hear from you. Send us your feedback to podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to hear more about the CPA exam course, check out the Yeager website. Again, that is YeagerCPAReview.com. Use promo code PODCAST at the Yeager CPA Review website to take 15% off your entire CPA Review course bundle. And if you haven't already done so, please like and subscribe to the podcast to receive those notifications of when new episodes are available.